Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Athlete by Elin Peer. Narrated by John Masterson and Noel Bridges. Prologue. Chasing the Dream. Hunter. No one wants to leave this world with no trace that they ever existed. The genetic disposition in humans to feel that way is the reason why generations of Enmen have fought and given their lives for the biggest dream of all, to win a bride and experience the privilege of fathering sons and daughters. Like my ancestors before me, I grew up wanting that dream with every fiber of my body. But with 100,000 men for every woman, I knew early on that it was an elusive dream that rarely came true in real life. In some ways, I was double-cursed, because I was one of the few who had witnessed the rare phenomenon of true love between a man and a woman. At the age of 12, I'd been selected for an experimental school where I'd witnessed my mentors falling in love. Kaya and Archer had gone from tolerating each other to sending long, heated gazes across the room, and sneaking in kisses when they thought we students weren't watching. My strongest memory was from a few months before I left the school at the age of 15. All us kids were down at the lake, swimming and playing under the supervision of the assistant mentors. Kaya and Archer were often in disagreement about how to raise us, and that morning they had been arguing. That's why I was so surprised to see them making out in the teacher's office when I came back to get a fishing rod. Like a thief stealing a glimpse of something precious, I watched through the open window and soaked up the loving looks between them and the words of affirmation they shared. Archer hadn't won Kaya in a tournament. She had chosen him because she loved him, and there was something pure and magical about their being able to argue and still want to kiss and touch. Those few minutes that I watched them through the open window left a deep and lasting impression on me. From that moment on, I knew that I wanted the kind of love that they shared. That's why I was so excited when, 4 years later, I met Alice. She was a friend of my twin sister, and we met every time I came to visit Willow in the Motherlands. Alice was gorgeous with her honey-colored hair, blue eyes, and that breathtaking smile of hers that lit up her whole face. She was a dancer, like my sister, and curious about me and the Northlander culture. Within 6 months, I visited Willow 4 times in the Motherlands, and every time I fell deeper in love with Alice. When Willow and I turned 20, she threw a party for us. I was beaming all night from the attention that Alice gave me. She hugged and kissed me when she first saw me, and later when everyone was dancing, she convinced me to let her teach me. Alice was funny, easy to talk to, and when she laughed, she often placed her hand on my arm or leaned against me. Each time it made my spine tingle, and for every minute in her sweet company I fell deeper in love. We flirted all night, sending long smiles and heated gazes at each other, and when I insisted on a break from the dancing to get some fresh air with some of the others, she came with us. I took it as a sign that she wanted to be around me as much as I wanted to be around her. Later that night, Alice offered to stay and clean up after the guests had gone home. With Willow asleep in the bedroom, Alice and I stayed up and talked until 2 a.m. Raised to pursue what I wanted in life, I took my chance when I saw it, and with a racing heart, I leaned in to kiss her. Alice didn't push me away. Instead, she kissed me back and whispered that she liked me. It caused an explosion of butterflies in my stomach and made me go straight for the claiming part. I seduced her on a rush of ecstasy, undressing her and bonding through silent lovemaking. Alice was a heaven-sent angel with the power to make me the happiest man in the world, and she did. We exchanged long glances, carrying silent promises of a shared future and eternal love. And after our bonding, the delicious feeling of orgasmic bliss, made me turn and look at her with deep admiration. I didn't hesitate for a second before asking her, "Alice, will you marry me?" At first, she gave me a funny look, but then her face split in a grin that made everything freeze up inside me.
"Marry you? What are you talking about? Why would you think that I want to marry you?"
I sat up, confused by her unexpected rejection of my proposal. "But you made love to me." Alice pushed her blonde hair back and sat up to cup my face.
"Yes, and it was fun, but there's no way I would ever marry a guy."
I jerked back, suddenly unable to stand her touch on my face. I wasn't some random guy. I was the man she had given herself to, and now she made it sound like it was no big deal. It was a fucking huge, life-altering deal.
"Hey, don't get mad. We can't marry. That's just ridiculous, Hunter."
She was still laughing, and what had sounded angelic before now sounded like an awful cackle. Avoiding eye contact, I got up and began dressing with harsh movements.
"Hunter, come on, don't be like that. We had fun, didn't we?"
My pants were inside out, and I tore at the fabric, feeling desperate to get dressed, as if somehow my garments could shield me from the complete humiliation of her rejection.
"Hunter!"
Alice sat up and reached for her shirt. "Let's just pretend this never happened." My voice was tight as I gathered my few things and threw them in my overnight bag with the pieces of my wounded pride. "Tell Willow that I had to go back home sooner than expected."
"You don't have to leave?"
"Yeah, I do." My chest was like a heavy tank of gasoline. All I could think about was getting to a safe place before she threw a match that would set off a major explosion in me.
"I've never seen this side of you before. I mean, Willow told me you could be like this, but it's weird to see it."
Closing my bag, I went to get my jacket.
"She said that you have a temper, and that you shut down when she talks to you about emotions. She says that you N-men are lousy at it in general."
Provoked by the word lousy, I stopped and turned to face her. "Just because we don't like to discuss our feelings for 5 fucking hours doesn't mean we can't express ourselves. Right now I'm pissed off. Is that expressive enough for you?"
"I don't understand why you would get angry at me for not wanting to marry you. You should have known there was no way I'd ever..."
Closing the front door behind me, I was spared Alice's last words. I had just proposed to the woman I was in love with, and it had been the most humiliating moment of my life. Not only had she called the idea of marrying me ridiculous, she had also laughed in my face. After that failure, I stayed away from the Motherlands for almost 3 years. Chapter 1. Mixed Teams. September 1st, 2447. Hunter. I stared at the large stadium. Or rather, I stared at the massive screen on the building that showed 18 players grinning down at me while making funny faces. My image was on plenty of advertising for soccer in the Northlands, but where I came from, we players were always scowling to look intimidating. These players looked like they were advertising for a fucking comedy club. My deep groan made Finn chuckle next to me.
"What do you think?"
"I think there's a reason I haven't been here in years. I want to go home."
"Don't be so negative. I can spot at least 3 or 4 beautiful women on that screen, and if you're lucky, whoever dressed up as that dolphin mascot might be even hotter."
He pointed to the screen, where a human-sized dolphin was being carried by the players. Finn had been amused since he picked me up at the border, but my sense of humor had taken a real downturn when I was forced into this shitty situation.
"It's not funny. I've played for the Dragons, the Panthers, the Cobras, and last week I was playing for the Warriors. I don't want to play for a team called the fucking Dolphins."
Finn grinned.
"Careful, my friend. You've got to tone down the F-word, or someone will report you for improper communication."
"I don't fucking care."
I figured that if the Motlanders couldn't deal with my language, they were welcome to send me back home. I didn't want to be here in the first place. I blame Pearl for this.
I grumped and crossed my arms as I turned to Finn. How the hell am I going to play on a mixed team? Soccer is a rough sport, and I'm a 6'4", 230-pound athlete. If I play, it's inevitable that I'll end up hurting them. I swung my hand to the image of the players on the wall. Look at them. Some of those women are the size of children. For Pearl to think I can play with them? It's ridiculous. He shrugged. The women will expect you to treat them just as you would treat a man. Gender isn't a big thing here. I snorted. Am I the only sane person who can see that this is a fucking bad idea? Oh, come on, don't be such a drama queen. When I moved here 10 years ago, most people were scared of us N-men. Things have changed, and now their fears have turned into curiosity. You'll be fine. He began moving toward the entrance of the training facility, and I followed with heavy steps. Inside, soft music played, and there was a fresh smell of oranges. My eyes were drawn by a purple sculpture formed as an upside-down tear with steam coming from the top. Walking closer to inspect it, I sniffed and realized that the scent of oranges was in that steam. Essential oils. I turned to Finn. What? He nodded to the sculpture. The scent, it's coming from essential oils, which is something the Muttlanders use all the time. I sniffed again. At least the scent in here was better than at my last training facility, where the smell had been a mix of leather, wet grass, and man sweat. Hunter, Hercules? The sound of a female voice made me turn around to see a small woman standing 10 feet away with a curious smile on her face. I recognized her from the photos I'd seen. She was the team captain, and her name was Emanuela Cervici. Her agent, Ben, had told me about her and praised her as one of the best soccer players in the world, but it was impossible for me to think of us playing together on the same team. I had about a foot on her in height, not to mention raw muscle mass. Welcome. With a smile, she stepped forward, holding out her hands to me, and maybe it was because I had such a dislike of being here that I stuffed my hands into my pockets. Her open expression changed to a more guarded one as she lowered her hands. My name is Emanuela. I've been with the Dolphins for 4 years, and I'm the team captain. I'm here to show you around. Okay. Keeping my hands in my pockets, I nodded to Finn. This is Finn McCumhale. I hesitated calling him my friend, only because Finn was someone I had looked up to my whole life, and it seemed presumptuous of me to assume he'd go along with that title when he was at least 20 years older than me, and best friends with our ruler and his brother, Magni. I'm what? Finn leaned back with an amused glance in his eyes. I straightened up and found my voice. Finn is a doctor. It was a lame introduction, but Emanuela gave him a warm smile and held her hands out to him. May peace surround you, doctor. Unlike me, Finn took Emanuela's hands without hesitation. Oh, you know our formal greeting. He nodded. I married my wife, Athena, 10 years ago. She's one of your priestesses, so I know about your customs. Emanuela's head tilted to one side. Ah, I see. You're the doctor. I've heard of you, of course. My apologies for not recognizing your name. Finn was still smiling. That's okay. I'm honored to meet you. I've seen you play, and I have to say that you're a spectacular soccer player. I shoved my hands even deeper into my pockets. Why the hell was he charming her like that? Finn was a married man, and it rubbed me the wrong way to see him hold the hands of this woman and smile at her. That's very kind of you to say. Emanuela finally released his hands and turned to me. I was warned that you may not know our culture very well, but don't worry, I'm here to teach you. She walked over to stand in front of me, leaning her head back and looking straight into my eyes. The first thing you should know about us is our way of greeting. It's considered polite to take a person's hands and keep eye contact for at least 10 seconds while wishing them peace. I raised an eyebrow. I know that. My sister is a Muttlander. Your sister? My twin sister. Mentioning Willow made the knot in my stomach larger. A few weeks ago we'd had a huge falling out, and I hadn't spoken to her since. Emanuela's eyes lowered to my hands in my pockets.
"If you know about our customary greeting, then I have to conclude that your choice to ignore my outstretched hands was a simple act of rudeness."
Her willingness to confront me made me straighten up. I hadn't expected that from a Motlander. They were known to be polite to the bone and afraid of conflict. Finn stepped in.
"I'm sure Hunter didn't mean to be rude. He just needs a bit of time to get used to things here. You might not know this, but touching a woman isn't allowed in the Northlands."
Emanuela stared at me with disbelief.
"Does that mean you've never touched a woman?"
I wasn't in the mood to share anything personal about myself, so I kept my answer to a short no.
"No, as in you have touched women before?"
"Yes." She waited for me to elaborate, and when I didn't, she took a step back.
"All right. We have about an hour before practice starts. Finn, would you care to join me and Hunter on a tour of the facilities?"
"I would love to, but I'm teaching in a few hours and need to prepare."
"What are you teaching?"
"I teach trauma care to doctors, nurses, and paramedics. We doctors from the Northlands have a lot more experience with bullet holes, chopped off limbs, knife wounds, and that sort of thing."
Emanuela looked from Finn to me and back again.
"I can't imagine you'd see much of that here."
"Not bullet holes, but accidents happen in the Motherlands, too. Gardening and home improvements are the two most dangerous activities here."
"Really?"
"Yes. I supervise at the emergency unit at the Restitution Hospital, and we've had patients who have come close to death from using power tools and sharp instruments like axes and garden scissors. It's no joke to treat a person who has slipped from a tall ladder and broken their neck or pierced themselves on a garden tool."
"No, I could see how that would require some expertise."
Finn gave Emanuela a last smile and patted my shoulder.
"Call me tonight, okay? I want to hear all about your first training, and especially about the shared showers."
My eyes narrowed in suspicion as he walked away with a chuckle. He was a jokester by nature, but his words had me worried. It was a fact that Motlander children showered together. Willow had told me that much. And, come to think of it, I had a weak memory of my friend Tristan insisting that it was common for sports teams to shower together too. But we'd been teenagers then, and I'd always assumed that he was trying to make the Motherland sound like a sexual fantasy. Looking at the small and very attractive woman walking in front of me, my eyes zoomed in on her tight butt, and I pulled at my collar, feeling too warm. Surely Finn had been messing with me, right? If not, I was in big fucking trouble. "Shit!" The word flew out of me as Emanuela turned and looked at me.
"Excuse me?"
Nothing. I waved my hand for her to go on. "Show me around." She took me through the training facility, and except for the soccer field itself, everything was very different from what I was used to. They used a lot of technology to enhance the players' skills, and even though she tried to explain how it all worked, I was a bit overwhelmed.
"This room is simple enough. All you have to do is stand in the middle, and when a ball comes out of that hole in the wall, your job is to kick it into whatever square lights up."
I looked around and saw at least 20 square holes in the four walls.
"Here, let me demonstrate."
Emanuela got into the middle of the room and called out,
"Ball, please."
A ball came rolling out of the wall, and she stopped it with her foot and looked around. When a square about four times the size of the ball lit up in an orange color, she kicked the ball nice and easy into the hole, which was halfway up the wall.
"Do you want to try?"
"No, I think I can work it out."
"All right."
She kicked another ball and made it look effortless before she took me down a hallway with offices and introduced me to at least 10 people connected to the team. They were experts on nutrition, injury recovery, public relations, and other things that I didn't catch. One elegant woman stood out to me when she hugged me without warning.
"I'm Donna."
The woman had to be in her early 30s. She was elegant, with makeup and a silk blouse that showed the top of her cleavage.
Hunter Hercules.
My heart was still racing after her unexpected hug.
I know your name, silly. We're all so excited that you're here, not least of all me, since I've never worked with an athlete from the Northlands.
Donna is one of our three sports psychologists. I'm sure you have mental coaches in the Northlands, too, right?
Emanuela crossed her arms and looked downright hostile compared to Donna's warm energy. Yeah, we do. I had never worked with one, but I have heard of players with burnouts who had been helped by psychologists, and I didn't want them to think that we didn't have specialists, too.
Great.
Donna stroked her hand up and down my arm, her voice soft and caring. I have our first appointment scheduled for tomorrow. I can't wait for us to get to know each other.
Clearing my throat, I nodded. Tomorrow, then.
Emanuela led the way as we left Donna's office. She didn't say anything, but pointed to signs as we walked past a cafeteria area called the fuel tank, an exercise room, a massage room. When we walked down a flight of stairs and entered a warm room with a large swimming pool, she still didn't speak.
Are we allowed to use this pool whenever we want?
Sure. Knock yourself out.
She gave me a disinterested shrug and walked out again. I was no expert on women, but this little one was pissed about something.
What's wrong?
She didn't hold the heavy door open for me, but made sure it slammed in my face.
Hey!
My foot saved me from a broken nose when it stopped the door.
What's your problem?
Me? She turned to face me. I just don't like how rude you are.
Are you still pissed about me not taking your hands in that formal greeting?
Well, you got past your reluctance to touch women pretty fast, didn't you?
What do you mean?
I had only ever seen one other Motlander roll her eyes, and that was my friend Raven, who had been a troublemaker from the day we met at the school. Wait a minute. Are you mad about me hugging the woman back there?
Her name is Donna.
I watched Emanuela stomp up the stairs, her round ass swaying, her calves visible in the tight pants that only went a little further than her knees. She looked toned and strong for a woman, but the most remarkable thing about her was that she was nothing like I had expected.
Why do you care? Are you jealous or something?
She had already turned the corner and was walking up the next flight of stairs, but I heard a low mumble.
Did you just call me an idiot?
I took three steps at a time to catch up to her.
Oh, you heard that part?
She didn't look the least bit apologetic.
Don't forget rude. I called you a rude idiot.
My mouth gaped a little.
Isn't that improper communication or something?
She stopped, turned, and held her finger to my face.
What kind of N-men are you? Don't tell me you're going to report me for improper communication.
I gave a small laugh.
Not fucking likely.
She didn't flinch. I had seen Motlanders look physically ill when they heard rude curse words, but this little firecracker didn't even blink an eye.
Good.
She took two more steps and was about to open the exit door when I planted a firm hand on it.
Why did you call me a rude idiot?
Because of your behavior.
You're not serious.
She arched a brow.
You stood like an arrogant ass and wouldn't touch me when you arrived. 20 minutes later, you're licking Donna's cheeks like you're her little puppy. If you want to be an ass, at least be consistent about it.
Removing my palm from the door, I stepped aside.
Point taken. From now on, I will be a complete ass all the time.
I saw a tug at the corner of her mouth, but it never evolved into a full smile.
Great. I have a feeling you'll be a natural at it.
Nah, I'm afraid I'm not that gifted, but I'm sure you can teach me.
Emanuela stiffened. She had already opened the door and was about to walk through, but my words made her close the door and confront me.
How about you and I set something straight right from the beginning? I'm not the nicest Motlander you will ever meet, but I am your team captain, and you will show me respect.
Sorry, honey, it's just that the whole idea of a female playing soccer is new to me.
Then you'd better catch up fast, because on this side of the border it's nothing special.
I'm a fast learner.
Excellent. Then let me give you your first lesson.
She leaned closer to me.
Don't call me or any of your teammates honey.
How about sweetheart, sugar, or maybe darling? There was something about this woman that brought out my inner demons. If she thought she could handle me, I would have to show her that she was in way over her head.
I'll make it very simple for you, Hunter. We live by the golden rule, so do to others as you would want them to do to you, and you will be fine. If you insist on calling me honey, then expect me to call you sweetie in return.
I wrinkled my nose up as she continued.
If you want, I can come up with something even better. How about Snuggle Bear or Peach?
Hunter will do just fine.
Same with my name. You can use Emanuela or Ema for short. Just don't ever call me Manu, Ella, or El.
Why not? She sighed.
Can you just please do as you're told?
It was clear that she had no idea what she was asking of me. Being a proud Enman and Alpha by nature, following orders from a small woman went against everything I stood for. So many sharp replies circled in the back of my mind, but I managed to control myself. I'll do my best to remember your name.
Thank you.
She walked on with her back straight and her jaws set. I hadn't made the best impression, and it was clear she wanted me to be here no more than I had wanted to come.
We need to get ready for practice.
How long do we train today?
You'll be out by 4. Will Finn pick you up?
It offended me that she thought Finn was my handler of some kind. No, he won't be picking me up. I have my own drone with me, and I've already been to my apartment.
We all live in the same complex. Did you know that?
I suppressed a groan. The last thing I needed was Emanuela as my neighbor. No, I didn't know that.
It's all part of playing for the Dolphins.
Wonderful. My tone fell flat.
The locker room is this way.
She jogged down a few stairs and brought me into a large room that resembled the locker rooms I knew from back home, with the benches, the lockers, and the open showers.
It's nice, isn't it?
I stared around to take it all in. There were palm trees, subdued lighting, and soft music playing. The lockers were decorated in individual patterns with names on them, and from the ceiling hung nice lamps that lit up a wall of pictures. Above it was written, Family Photos. I walked over and saw pictures of the team swimming and partying together.
We do a lot of things as a team,
Emanuela said behind me. I can see that.
What scent do you prefer, candy or coffee?
I turned around to see her with a small basket in her hands. She picked up a small bottle and sniffed it.
You're too slow, so I'm going to go with apple.
I was just about to tell her that she hadn't given me a chance to make up my mind when the door opened and 3 players came in. I recognized the 2 men and the woman from the photo in front of the building. They stared at me as much as I stared at them before Emanuela broke the ice and introduced us.
This is Vicky, Jerome, and Sander.
I raised my hand in a greeting. Hello.
And this is Hunter Hercules, our new team member from the Northlands.
She could have fooled me with her happy tone that sounded excited to have me here. Insecure smiles were followed by polite greetings from the players, and then 4 more trickled in.
You'll meet everyone later.
Emanuela signaled for me to follow her.
This is your locker. I chose trees on the front, since that's basically all I know about the Northlands. You have a ton of forest up there, don't you?
That's right. It's very lush and beautiful.
That's what I thought. So I figured you might like your locker to remind you of home, since everything else here is going to be strange and different.
Thanks.
Everything you need should be in there.
She opened her own locker, which was only a few feet from mine. It made me frown and turn around to see all the players getting their stuff out. Some were sitting on the benches, some were standing, but it was a mix of women and men,
and Finn's last words about shared showers came back to me.
Wait a minute. Emanuela looked over.
What is it?
Please.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?